From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 420, Ignite Recap with guest Stephen Rose, recorded Thursday, May 7th, 2015. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Hey, this is Richard Campbell, and you're listening to Run As Radio, and that was Brandon Wen, who makes me sound smart. I'm here at the Hyatt attached to the McCormick Center. Ignite is almost over, and I found me a Stephen Rose.
Richard!
Buddy, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
And, I mean, you were the Windows guy for the longest time. But you've changed roles now?
I am. I'm now in the U.S. subsidiary, okay. So I work with a lot of our top customers. So mm-hmm. I got to get to still kind of do the IT pro thing with them, talk about Windows, but I'm super excited because I miss being an IT pro, and somebody high up said, we got to do more with IT pros. And they all looked at me. So I'm getting back out on the road, doing what I love to do, talking with IT pros, talking Windows 10, what's going to be coming. So much excitement here at Ignite this week here in Chicago that it's going to be great to get
out. The news has been awfully good of late.
Yeah.
And I was at Build last week as well, and as the .NET Rocks guy. And the news coming out of there was pretty good too. But here, I mean, I think this is the biggest show Microsoft's ever done. Was it 22,000 people?
Well, they've combined, you know, a bunch of shows, yeah. SQL, PaaS, and MMS, and all of those into one, and put that audience together. But I think we're at a great point in time. You know, folks got off XP. They went to Windows 7. Yep. Some of them are still at Server 2003. They're at the point now going, it's time to get off of Windows 7 because I don't want to pay a ton of money to keep using it.
Right.
I want to start using the cloud. It's time. I've been using a little bit and ready to jump in. And Azure after 3-4 years is finally at a point where it's where it needs to be.
It seems to have grown up.
Yep. Office 365 has proved itself and is growing to be a really, really great product. Mm-hmm. New versions of Server and System Center, we announced this week, are coming out later on this year.
Yep.
And Windows 10. So I think there's a lot of excitement. And what people are hearing is what they had hoped to hear a few years ago.
Yeah.
We did not deliver. And I think under Satya, we have done a much better job of going back and listening to our customers going, hi, how do we not piss you off? And what do you need? And what do you want from us? And bringing it back and getting engineering to go, okay, we didn't see that. So I think right. There's a better synergy between the folks that you know, customers meet with and our folks internal in doing that. And I think Satya's done a great job of sort of building down.
I'm appreciating him being a very public face in these events too. Like, he kicked off both shows.
Yeah.
And I think it made me feel good, mm-hmm. as much as, you know, what he said was pretty powerful too, but it's just like, hey, feels like there's someone at the helm here and they're going in a direction.
Absolutely. He's very much cloud first, mobile first. And I think anybody who has an iPad or an iPhone or has an Android device has seen an explosion of Windows apps on their devices, from Delve, which just came out in beta, yep. to Outlook, finally a really good mail client for some of those platforms, to Yammer, to Link, and all of those where now.
There's no Link anymore.
Well, sorry, Skype for Business.
Skype for Business.
Yeah, Skype for Business. it's not SkyDrive, it's OneDrive. But all of that really coming together. And what's great is you can now really move between platforms, start something on one platform, pick it up on another, finish it on another, seamlessly, the way yep. that we talked about doing for years. So it's neat to see that come into fruition finally.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't want to lay it all at Satya's feet either. I'm really happy with the guy. Clearly, the company was already going this direction.
Bomber laid the framework
without a doubt
to do that.
Yes. And he's picked it up and run with it and added his own touch to it on top of that. But yeah, this path of mobile devices and cloud, I mean, the servers aren't going away. In fact, it feels like we're getting more and more of that cloud technology available to us on-prem.
Yeah. I think that and the other big shift we're seeing is MDM.
Right.
That if you are an IT pro today and, you know, we've talked before, if you know how to ghost, you're already looking to, you know, create your own end of life on that you really need to understand System Center, all that. But MDM is becoming the tool where we're hearing companies saying, we're going from 100% server to 60% MDM, 40% server.
Right.
If you're not in the building, there are devices out there I've never seen, never will see, responsible for, have to take care of, MDM is going to be the way to do that.
You have to embrace mobile. It's just not optional anymore.
It's not optional anymore. And it, the solutions are getting better in doing this.
You're not being punished for waiting either, because a lot of people have, you know, hurt a lot to get to where we are now.
Well, Office a few weeks ago announced their free MDM solution for managing Office that kind of hands off to Windows Intune or System Center or Mobile Iron Air watches that mobile at that intermediate piece.
Right.
But you really now have a much better end-to-end solution. And with Windows 10, the ability to be able to provision and deploy to a device while you're still standing in a Best Buy is huge, and now have a higher level of security. The ability in Windows 10 to go from Pro to Enterprise without having to reimage to do a straight upgrade, to do an in-place upgrade. It's these sort of things, a lot of stuff that folks have been waiting for, saying that's what's making my life difficult. We're finally seeing that really kind of come together on a lot of the products.
Do you see Windows 10 as walking back a bunch of stuff from Win 8? I mean, I just don't know how I feel yet. I'm running the beta on my workstation, my laptop on the road. I trust it that much.
That's great.
But I'm not sure I didn't have that much problem with Win 8. Maybe I'm just technical enough that I was able to get it set the way I wanted to.
Well, you know, you and I went through Vista.
Yeah.
And Vista Service Pack 1, and you and I have had this conversation, was a great operating system once they fixed a lot of the
It set up what 7 was going to be.
Right. But folks, after they heard Vista sucks, they were done.
Yeah.
They didn't
want my mother told me she didn't want Vista. Right. And I'm like, you're not qualified for an opinion, actually, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Windows 8.1 started to move better into the promise. I think we bought into our own hubris with Windows 8 at times.
Sure.
I think we thought everybody would go buy a touch device and everybody was going to do this and that. And they didn't. I think they had too many choices and other more mature operating systems that people put a square peg into a round hole.
Especially in the enterprise space. Yeah. I mean, I got a beautiful touchscreen machine in my kitchen at home, but not my workstations downstairs.
No.
You know, those monitors haven't been changed out yet. They're good.
But people changed the way they work to have been able to put an iPad and use it as their device during the day. So I think
that's caught on. This idea of taking your compute with you.
Yeah. And it's a square peg round hole many times, but people did it.
Did it anyway.
And I think that's the thing is, we didn't have the ecosystem. There's a ton of things, whether it's from Sanofsky to the ecosystem, to the way people did. There were a lot of mistakes were made.
Sure.
But I think with Windows 10, and to answer your question, there are two sides of that. There's the customer facing side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We went back. We brought back a modernized version of the start menu, one that does what the start menu did with the power of Cortana and things along that line.
Yeah, and Live Tile. Yeah. I mean, stuff we really like.
If somebody is productive on 7, they can sit down and immediately be productive on 10. That's critical. Mm-hmm. If they can't do that, doesn't work. I think I told you the story I met with, and she said, you took away my start menu. And I said, don't you mean the start menu? She said, no. That's my start menu. That's how I start my day. That's how I end my day. That's where the 5 apps I use every day in a row are. And when you took that away, made my life difficult.
Right.
That simple.
Pretty hard to argue with.
You can't. You have to go, I understand that, I'm sorry, and let me give you a hug. And there are great third-party apps that will bring back your start menu, sort of.
Or we could just pin those 5 apps to the taskbar.
They don't like the change. You know, it's the grandkids and the kittens on the screen. But under the hood, that's where the changes are. I mean, it's enterprise data protection, and it's the use of next generation credentials and data protection and containerization. It's all the stuff that folks don't see, which builds upon it. It builds upon UEFI and all of that.
You know, the really silly thing that's working for me between this Nokia phone and this Samsung laptop is I walk into the hotel and I use my phone and log into the internet in this hotel.
Yep.
And then I turn on my laptop.
And it already knows it.
Already has the credentials, logs itself in, good to go.
Yeah.
It's really a small thing, but talk about delight.
Yeah.
Like I just got a big, hey, I'm already on.
Right. And then the great thing is you're also now sharing those credentials if you choose with all your friends on Facebook.
Right.
So now when they walk into that hotel, they don't even have to do the first log on. They trust you. That trust is passed and now they're automatically logged in. All of that done. But that leans into that whole having one operating system across all those devices. So how do we not only do that on phone and on Windows, but how we take that to Xbox and IoT devices and Raspberry Pi devices and bring that together where you do it once, it travels across all of those. I think that's the key things that we've been talking about this week, that we hear you and we're not going to screw you and we're going to try to do the stuff that you want and we're going to make it easy for you to upgrade and move your folks because you got to do it. And what do we need to know? Edge too. I think there were some great sessions on the new, what was Spartan and is now
Edge. The new browser and the I don't want to call it the breaking change browser, but it's like leaving the past behind browser. Because yeah, the IE had brought basically every previous version of IE with it.
Yeah. And now it's, hi, if you like viewing this page on your iPad and it's got cool tabs that you don't see in Windows 10, launch Edge because you'll get those cool tabs right back. We will emulate that. And I think that they've realized we went too far. Good for an enterprise that's locking down, but for the average consumer, we're now missing stuff that some of these other cool devices do, and we're losing some of that experience. And
right.
So we start to bring that across.
So you have to do it in a different way. So you don't see Edge in the enterprise?
I think in the beginning, a lot of folks are going to be unsure about it.
Right.
Because they don't know it. They don't know, you know.
Well, I got to test all my apps.
Yeah. And I got Cortana in it. What is being shared with Microsoft? How much data is being shared with them? Where is this going? Can I trust it? And I think we've put out several videos, and I think a lot of companies are kind of taking a step back going, here's why you can trust this. Because every week you read about one of our competitors that is doing something saying, hey, yeah, we scan your email, or yeah, we every 10 seconds take a GPS reading out of this and see where you're at. So we're trying to go back saying, we're going to let you borrow our cloud, but we're not going to keep anything in it and how this is all going to work. So I think it's going to take time. I think consumers are going to love it.
Right.
I think prosumers like you and I, who can straddle both of those sides,
yeah,
are going to find ourselves using that more and more until that becomes our browser of choice. But I think as we build in features like the BI feature that they showed during the keynote, or we start doing things where it makes more sense, where it gives me, hey, Bob and Susie just uploaded this to SharePoint and you're on this project, do you want to see it? Over in the corner, yes, I click it and then it brings that up for me. That sort of personal assistant stuff are the things that are going to make a big difference.
Yeah, just sort of make all that work. And yeah, Delve can give you chills when you start looking at it, but from an internal corporate perspective,
yeah,
like this has been my problem for the longest time, is we know it's in there somewhere. We just can't find this stuff. And you're never really sure who's working on things.
Right.
This idea of building a social graph around these documents,
yeah,
just seeing where the work's being done.
It's kind of the other half of Yammer.
Yeah.
It's now it sort of makes the sandwichy bread. And then you have that, you know, Sway, this great piece in between, which does like this next generation, you know, anti-PowerPoint in some ways, new ways of presenting with all this multimedia and all the little scraps that you collect on the web.
Right.
How do I put that together and tell a story that's interesting and compelling?
Yeah, actually assemble all that stuff in a sort of logical way. And again, those seem like consumer tools until you really start. They almost don't make sense in the consumer near as much as they do inside of the enterprise.
Yeah.
Like it's like that subset of data. Trying to deal with the whole internet with something like Delve is ridiculous.
Right.
But when it's just walk in my file servers and my SharePoint servers and can sort of coordinate that information.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like the only stuff I'm going to worry about is stuff that shows up in Dell.
Absolutely. Cause that's stuff that somehow touches me and the rest of it is somewhat irrelevant unless I need to dig a little bit further.
Right.
And what's great is for all those folks that are at home, all of these sessions, most of these sessions from Build, most of these sessions from Ignite are available through Channel 9 on download, on demand. Yep. So even if you weren't here and feel a little left out, you get a chance to go back and see this stuff for yourself and get caught up. Because if you are still on Windows 7, if you're still, hopefully, God, not on Server 2003, but...
And we've done the Server 2003 end-of-life show, and I got to tell you, for the most part, the listener response has been, we turned those off already. Yeah. I don't think we're having a huge crisis around 2003.
Yeah, we still have a bunch of folks that are still in 2003 R2 that didn't go to Server 2012.
The only thing I'll say in favor of 2003 R2 as a web guy was that was the fastest TCP/IP stack you'd built.
Yeah.
And I only think just now we're getting back to, because you wrote a brand new one for 2008.
That was a great IIS client, that one too.
Yeah. And it worked. It worked super really reliable.
Well. But it was thinner.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the range of things that people do on servers today was not. It was a file server. It was a print server. It was a mail server. Yeah. It was part of it was a bridgehead server. It was part of a triple home bastion DMZ of some sort.
And IIS 6 was sort of the last version of IIS of the old style.
Yeah.
And it was, we forget, but it was tough to manage. Like it was not a trivial thing to take care and feeding of those servers.
Do you not remember you were able to get an MCSE plus I or an MCP plus I because you took the IIS exams in order to have that plus internet. At the end of your, I was an MCSE plus I because I took that IIS exam.
But I mean, the jump to IIS 7 and 2008 so forth, I mean, it's taken a while to get it where it needs to be.
It is.
It's astonishingly good now. Holy man.
Yeah. And what we're coming out with, and you know, the great thing is for customers that are looking at rolling out Windows 10 this summer, Server 2012 and System Center 2012 right out of the box are ready to manage that. You won't need to do an upgrade. With Windows, we're going to be, as with, when you look at software as a service in Windows, we'll be continually improving the product and adding new feature functionality. So there may be a point you need to go to a new version where there's, hey, that's a really cool feature we want. Well, we can't make that work in the old version. You will have to go to a new one.
Right.
But at day one, if you're on the current versions, you're good. If you're on older versions, there's some things you may not be able
you're
to
gonna
light
be,
up.
You're going to be have to push certain things up to get going on all
what
of
were,
that.
What were your big ahas from this week? What did you walk away going, that's pretty cool, and I'm glad I was here to see that.
I'm really appreciating the way the Azure story is coming together.
Yeah.
We're putting out a show shortly on Run As about the rights management stuff, because bringing that to Azure suddenly made that make a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you've got Word, I can now send you a secure document and send you all the rules imaginable from right. Word 2007 on.
Yeah. And with Windows 10 leveraging Azure AD, you have, if a document was done inside of your domain, you've got all the rights to it. But if you can't cut and paste it for folks that are outside, and if you send it outside, we can turn off access to that in a minute. No one can see it anymore.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think the rights management story for data containment and preventing data leakage becomes a critical
piece.
And
it ties in this whole overall AD story. Like, I almost feel like we're starting to get to single sign-on. Like the latest version of ADFS,
mm-hmm.
the one that's in Server 2012 R2,
yep.
its connections with OAuth. Like, all of a sudden, we're starting to say, hey, you can actually really make – the question is whether you even want single – I'm going to finally give you single sign-on. Right. Do you still want it?
And is it truly – do I log on to the PC and I have access to everything?
Everything.
And, not and, just
and,
some things.
And do I really know how my credentials are moving around? Like, there's still other concerns.
Right.
You know the funny part is, now that we're finally – I feel like this is all coming together, we're also right at the point where I'm like, can we get rid of passwords, please?
Well,
because they're killing me.
Well, that was – you know, there's a great article in – I forget what magazine a few months ago, and they said Microsoft and Apple are killing the password.
As well it should.
As well we should. And with, you know, stuff like Hello, with biometrics, as we look at, you know, you put your 8-inch tablet, now you're wirelessly connected, all of that stuff. Because end users have always been the weak link.
Yeah, and they never wanted to do those things in the first place.
Yeah.
Let me pay the bills here, Stephen, because Run As Radio is brought to you by ScriptRock, the makers of Guardrail and the fighters of Configuration Drift. Configuration Drift happens in every environment from 5 nodes to 5,000. Guardrail will find and scan the configs of every node in your environment, no matter the platform, and alert you to changes happening across machines. Give it a try for 3 months free with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, at ScriptRock.com/RUNASRADIO. See, I'm very NPR these days.
I love how you kind of slip. You go from the iVoice into the, it's 12 o'clock, and thank you for joining us here at NPR. You go into that nice, mellow, dulcet tones. Back up to the regular ones. You're able to flip that switch very nicely.
Well, I don't want to make it too different either, but the guys at ScriptRock are taking good care of me, and they make an awesome product.
Awesome.
So it's been really a lot of fun to work with them. It'll be interesting to see, you know, exactly that conversation of managing many machines. It's still not that simple.
No, it's not. And as we add more pieces to it, I think that's what makes it complex is we're no longer, like I said, just the print server, the file server, all this sort of stuff.
Now it's many services.
Yeah, I got many services and I'm bringing this in and I'm managing a rights management server. And oh, I'm doing what I'm locking down on phones and what I'm locking down on third party devices. And oh, translation services and VoIP services because nobody uses PBX anymore.
No.
And video conferencing. And oh, we'll bring in a Surface Hub while we're at it. I mean, it's crazy. All of the stuff that's now coming in, everybody goes, manage it, lock it down, secure it.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do it in as little, you want that single pane of glass is what everybody
wants. And you want it to just happen. I presume the lawsuit around Skype for Business is going to die. Not that you think you can even comment on it, but the fact that the Sky guys in the UK are going to pull that again after SkyDrive, it's nutty. But
yeah.
I am also excited about this general unification of instant message, VoIP, messaging, getting that to all be a coherent thing. Because when it was done right back in the unified communications days, which was hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was only a handful of organizations I ever saw that really had it all, where the sense of presence and all those things were working. You're like, oh, I need that.
And but, you could take your cell phone call and transfer it to your desk phone and all that sort
and
of stuff.
And your identity followed you around and people knew where you were and so forth. Getting that to SMB is just not easy.
No, it's not.
And I don't know that we're there yet, but the fact that you're going with the Skype for Business name makes me feel like we're going to be able to push this down to smaller organizations.
Well, I mean, when I'm on Skype for Business, I can see all my Skype friends and I can immediately ping them. We've got the great compression tools that are in Skype, which make for a really great quality. I think it's absolutely the best video quality that's out there.
Yep.
The point of presence is good. We've learned a lot with Link. We've made a lot of mistakes with Link that we went back and said, how do we do that smarter, better, faster? So yeah, that whole kind of bringing together, I'm excited to see. We're moving in the right directions.
Yep.
Customers seem happy, but for SMB, it's all about money, and this becomes a great way for them to be able to save a lot of money.
Yeah. Now, I'm also laughing at you're getting more and more stuff billed by the month. And now I'm starting to see in my customers pressure to, can I just give you money once in a year and know that it's paid for?
We have a few things coming out that are going to have more. I think as we move into software as a service, people go, give me Windows Office. I mean, it's like walking into I did a whole thing with Hardee's. They make every burger from scratch, and I worked with them, and they built this really cool. You walk up to this 23-inch kiosk, and your burger extrudes, and you slide out what you don't want. No pickles, no tomatoes, no lettuce.
Right.
More bacon, more cheese, add a Lipitor, you know, whatever. But you get what you want. I think that's what folks want is, I don't want this. I want these three things. Sell it to me as a burger for a single price, and I get to eat it for a year, and I'm good. And then next year, I'll swipe out some other stuff and swipe it in.
Yeah, so if halfway through the real year, I may realize I've made a mistake. I can make some changes, and it's not hugely disruptive.
Or I'm adding 1,000 employees, or downsizing.
We made an acquisition, or we spun off a group, anything like
that. So I think that becomes that key sort of made to order, but more customization within that. I think moving to software as a service, the way that Office did, really allows us to do that better and to be more agile.
It's a very Adrian Cockcroft approach to things. It was easy to ignore how difficult licensing was when we only did it once a year.
Well,
but if we have to deal with it every month, we're going to have to make it better.
Yeah. It's like looking at your cell phone bill.
Yes. Well, and this is the thing.
Why did it go up a little bit? Why did it go down? What's going on?
Why would Microsoft ever want to take a chance to be compared to Comcast or Verizon?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, be better to your customers. You don't want to be in that pool. It's kind of frightening. I hope we're getting enough of stuff on Ignite because there's all these other shows that are involved. I got to tell you, I worked over in the Community Lounge B this week, and a lot of the talks that were there were SharePoint talks, and they were packed.
Yeah.
I still see it sort of as a schism between on-premise and cloud SharePoint. It's a big deal.
Well, folks that have been doing on-premise for years, and I've managed this and you've managed this, SharePoint for a long time was a big junk drawer.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff in it, but nobody knew where it was at and where to find it. And you had to spend 20 minutes. Everybody has one of those drawers in their kitchen somewhere. And you know it's in there somewhere. And hopefully nothing will poke you and cut you when you reach in. But you can grab things out. But then as everybody got used to, okay, my hard drive's getting smaller. I can't start carrying that stuff around. I'm getting multiple versions. People have gotten smarter about it. So I think we're at the point now where we've hit that sort of, you know, max queue where people are going, okay.
Yeah, we got to manage this.
We've got to manage it, and I've got tons of people using it. And we're moving from, you know, we move from billions to trillions to quadrillions of zettabytes now.
Yeah.
We're even past petabytes, where I thought petabyte was cool. We're now at zettabytes.
Yep.
And billions of zettabytes of data. You've got to find better ways to manage it and wrangle it. Again, we're Delve and what we're doing with SharePoint moving to the cloud really starts to make more sense.
It's not making the junk drawer tidy. It's just indexing it well.
It's indexing it. So,
and actually saying, you know, you might be interested in this tool, like sort of surfacing the most interesting things in the drawer.
Right.
But it'd be nice to tidy the drawer.
I think we have massively simplified the whole strategy down to that. Somebody should make a slide out of it.
There's a few Robert Bogues out in the world that are going, governance is harder than that, you guys.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I saw a great slide this morning where somebody showed a fried egg and they said the yolk is Windows. Here is the, you know, the albumin, and this is here's the drivers, and here's the ISO pack. So that's it. You can pull the yolk out.
Yep.
And drop another yolk in and it works perfect. It's that outside that is all funky shapes and very different and no two are alike. And I went, that's a really good analogy. I get that. And I'm like, wow. So maybe the junk drawer helps. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Just trying to organize all of that. But, and the interesting thing about moving to the cloud, time and again, I saw the same message, which is don't take your junk to the cloud.
Yeah.
Right. It's the time to tidy it up is you're only moving to things you really want. And those are the things that'll be more searchable, more reliable. And you're going to be billed by the month for. So you actually care. You know, it's easy to ignore the mess of a file server on prem. It's amortized. It's paid for. The power consumption is irrelevant. Who cares?
Well, you know, you bring up a good point because I think as our customers who are exhausted from going to Windows 7, but are now going, I don't want to pay for extended support. Don't just upgrade to Windows 10. It's like, there are two types of people when they move. I take everything in house A and move it to house B.
Right.
Or there's the person who goes through everything saying, do I really need this?
Yeah.
And of course, right after you throw it away, you need to buy a new one. Of course, that's fine.
There is a new one to buy.
There is a new one to buy. But this is the time to say, do we really need three different Adobe clients? Do we really need two different ways to do this? And it's painful because you go to somebody, hi, nobody doing it this way, but we're going to standardize as a company. But as you're moving to new servers and doing this becomes a great opportunity to bring those things together. And as you're moving to the cloud, that's another one of those moments on, does this still make sense for the way we do business
today? It is sort
of
a phase shift, and you can start thinking about your business differently. Meantime, back on the on-prem story.
Yes.
Nano server.
Yeah.
A packed house. They were tweeting like crazy because people couldn't get in the session. They ended up having to repeat it, and they mirrored it out to multiple rooms. Like, I'm just astonished at the interest.
Well, that and Raspberry Pi.
Right.
The thought of, I can carry a whole PC in my pocket.
Yeah.
Excites people because it opens up opportunities.
It's $100.
It's on ours. I've seen it connected directly to 60-inch big screen TVs. And now through group policy, I can control it. And that's my menu. It's my city map. I can now do these amazing interactive displays. I can give them to somebody, a sales guy. Again, all I need is just the hardware. I can remove the hard drive. I have a better way of managing. So
sure.
It opens up so many really cool opportunities when you make things small enough to start doing these things.
Well, and to make them so low cost that you just put them everywhere.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
And that changes.
I hate to even say the word Internet of Things because it's such an overblown word.
We just say IoT.
Yeah. But the idea that we're just making fully manageable computers as we as IT people know how to manage them.
Right.
You know, group policy manageable domain joined computers that are sub $100
and headless.
And we can stick them anywhere we want.
Yep.
And just start thinking in those terms.
But hence why MDM becomes so critical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because MDM is the way to manage those because the days of, again, devices I never see that I've never seen, but I'm responsible for, this falls underneath that. And that's where having one core from IoT to our Windows Mobile, our sub 8-inch devices to Windows to Surface Hub to Xbox, having one house where no matter what size you build it, the water and electricity is the same, no matter how you decorate it. That really starts to move into that.
It makes all that much easier.
Yeah. And listeners need to be aware that this is the way you've got to start thinking and how this is going to affect you and what you're doing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's profound. And we're going to get flack one way or the other trying to do a half hour on Ignite because it was so wide.
Yes.
So very wide.
No, I mean, I got to hit the road so I can go out and talk about this stuff to people and dig in deeper.
Well, this is where I wanted to go too, because I mean, there's 22,000 people that hopefully are happy.
Yes.
But there's lots of folks who didn't get there. So what are you up to? What are you doing on this tour?
We're doing an IT mobility tour, kind of Windows 10. So we thought, you know what? There are a lot of questions on Windows 10. There's a ton of questions on the EMS, which is Azure AD, Intune System Center, and Office 365, especially around Office 16 and what's coming. So we thought, for the folks who either didn't make it to Ignite or thought, you know what? I'm happy on Windows 7. And now this week with all the news coming out are going, maybe I'm a little bit behind.
Yeah.
We're going to be going out to 11 cities. We're going to be doing an hour on each of those topics at night. We'll put all myself and the key guys up in the front of the room to answer questions. We've got drinks and food and giveaways as well. But it's a chance.
Is it a whole day or is it an evening?
It's an evening. It's like a 5:30 to 9 kind of thing.
All right.
But
we'll feed you dinner in the process.
Yeah, well, we'll give you a lot of really good appetizers to fill you up enough so you don't drive home too drunk from all the booze that you can drink for free.
But thoughtful of you.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I did that Windows Unplugged tour last year where I sat down with customers and said, what do you want to see in Windows 10? Mm-hmm. And I'm most excited to go back and say, here was the top 10 things. 8 of them are in the product and we're going to work on getting those other 2 in.
Right.
What's next? And why aren't you now loading this up and playing with it? And what else do we need to do?
So this is as usual for you, as much a feedback tour as it is a demonstration tour.
Yeah, no, I need the two-way. I think it's great to tell you what we're doing and fill your brain with that and go, okay, now I get the puzzle.
Right.
Now tell me what are the pieces for the way that you work, because no two people do that the same way.
Yeah, well, we're all different and there's lots of folks to talk to.
Yep.
And you're always going to find folks that are still clinging to some of the old stuff too.
Yeah.
It seems to be, we're starting to get into the state of a real challenging in being competitive now.
Yeah.
With the rate that the other companies can move. You know, suddenly that old gear is troublesome. There wasn't a lot of DevOps conversations here.
No.
Not directly.
I don't think we're at that point yet. I think people are still going, I'm liking this Windows app thing, but I'm really not sure. And
I saw some great DSC conversations that were, you know, here's how you use DSC has always been about configuring Windows or maybe configuring web server, but I saw it done for SQL Server. I saw it done for SharePoint. Yeah. Like you're starting to get some recipes for using these tools that way. And the chef guys were here. Like I see the ingredients for a normal organization to be able to get better at deploying new versions of products, to roll out faster.
There's a lot of introspection that's going on with folks. And I think folks are walking away Ignite being very excited, but going, I need to start changing the way I think, and I need to start change within the organization
sure.
if we're going to be an agile mobile business.
So yeah.
I agree. And that's some of the stuff we'll talk about on this tour, which is great. I know you have the URL. I can't remember it. It's itpro.com.
It's itpro.mobilitytransformed.com.
That's it. 11 cities. We're going to New York, Boston, Houston, Jacksonville, Florida, Indianapolis, Minneapolis, Charlotte. I like those tier two cities too. Orange County, Seattle, Houston. There's one or two others in there, but
yeah,
it's a free event.
So all the way across the country, on the edges and some in the middle.
I start next Tuesday and I'm on the road till June 11th.
So I think this show comes out like the day after your first okay. tour stop.
Well, great. Well, folks can sign up for the Indianapolis, the Minneapolis OC ones. And, it's great. And if you heard this show and you came out because of it, come on up and let me know. And, we'd love that. If you want to, they can follow me on, at Stephen L. Rose. That's STEPHENELROSE.com on Twitter. And I'll be happy to chat with you and answer questions and pass stuff on to you. And, it's always great. I love getting out and meeting the IT pros after being one for so many years, as do you.
Stephen Rose, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Richard. This was a fun wrap-up of Ignite.
Absolutely. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.